Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Coming to us today from Des Moines, Iowa is Jane Brown. Jane is the Chief Compliance Officer and Director of Business Operations for THD America. Jane, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks, Adam. Super excited to be here.
So we're going to talk today about Jane's life as a solo compliance officer. She is the entire compliance team in her organization. And for many people, that's not an uncommon thing. So Jane, for someone stepping into a new compliance role, especially as a solo compliance person, what are the first things that they should be doing?
Sure, that's a great question. Well, for me, the first thing as a solo compliance officer was to do a really thorough risk assessment of our existing compliance program and get a really good inventory of every policy and procedure that we already have, really try to identify where we have gaps in our policies. And then after that, of course, take a very organized approach to remediating any gaps that are identified through a action plan or work plan of some sort.
So as you go about that, I mean, I imagine as you're doing the risk assessment, identifying the gaps, you found some potential challenges. What are some of the typical potential challenges that, someone's going to face as a solo compliance officer?
Sure. Well, in a small program and in a smaller organization, you just don't have the same resources. So when you talk about a compliance program risk assessment, what are you talking about? For me, I mean looking at the seven elements of compliance that OIG prescribes or recommends, and then trying to figure out where the organization sits alongside those seven elements. So one of the big elements is audit, and a lot of small organizations don't really have a comprehensive internal audit model in place. So that, for example, is one area where you're going to have a little bit of a struggle to figure out how to implement it, how to do it cost effectively, and how to do it in a way that's really meaningful to an organization of a smaller size.
And then what are some of the advantages to living the solo life? I mean, I recently talked to a compliance officer who commented that one of the virtues of being in a small organization is the ability to get to know many people face to face. Are you finding that's a great asset, and are there any others?
I think so. I mean, for me, it's not just from a compliance perspective, but in general, being in a smaller organization, you get, on a first name basis with just about every key leader. But from a compliance perspective, a small team is nice because you're very nimble, you have access to all the employees, and you have the ability to act very quickly to remediate anything that you identify. And sometimes time is of the essence. So being able to act quickly just offers a great deal of benefit or an advantage, if you will.
So obviously, when it's just you, there's only so much you can do. Who can you turn to who can help make up for being a solo compliance officer and give you some more reach and resources?
Sure. Well, for me, I try to work with a couple of different department heads, and I try to identify individuals who, in a small company and in a small business, usually folks wear multiple hats to begin with. I'm the chief compliance officer, but I'm also the director of business operations. And under the business side of the house, I have customer service and I have sort of shipping, logistics, and that kind of personnel who I work with every day. So if I'm, just need support with taking notes at a meeting, for example, at a compliance committee, then I will, basically ask one of those teammates to come and help and be the recorder. And I try to cross-train people so that they have those skills and that they understand, what the importance is of these minute meetings, the fact that they serve as a record. So it's really just being flexible and trying to enlist a whole bunch of different internal resources and having those open conversations with the other department heads and saying, hey, I'm one person, we need to get this done. Can I borrow, Becky for this project? And more often than not, they will, they'll support you because the priorities, right, are organizational. It's not just, the compliance person having a compliance program over here in a corner. It's very important that everybody sort of sees the value of what the compliance program brings, the impact to their department. One of the things you want to also try to manage when you start sort of recruiting people and deputizing them into your compliance program is to make sure that you don't have any conflict of interest. For example, if I'm going to audit a specific department, I'm not going to recruit somebody from that department to help me conduct an audit. Not because I don't think they can do a great job, but just because you want somebody to do it with a fresh sort of independent perspective. And so you probably go and, you know, ask somebody from a different, you know, door C department and ask if they have somebody that you can borrow to help. So I think just being very clear about what you need in order to get a job done and communicate very effectively about those needs, I think you can go a very long way, even as an individual.
So now, how do you get management support and understanding of how limited your resources are?
Well, we do have a lot of discussions about what our priorities are and what are the costs of implementing things. The reality is you can implement anything you want in a compliance program if you have unlimited resources. Unfortunately, that is rarely the case in even large businesses, never mind small businesses. So it's, you know, having access to your board, to your management team, being able to articulate what the priorities are and why those are the priorities, and really being able to sort of focus your activities based on riskiness. So spending whatever limited resources you have on the more risky items and then going from there. You can't get it all done in one day on a limited budget, that's for sure, but you can make sure that the most sort of high-risk areas are addressed in a relatively timely manner, even as one individual.
One of the hard parts about being alone is it's a lot harder to bounce ideas off of people. You don't have other people in your group to ask, gee, what do you think we should do? How do you get that sort of casual feedback from people you can trust if there's no one else in the department for you to go to?
So this is one of my biggest challenges. Upfront, because you cannot actually go to legal for every casual question. I mean, you could if you have the resources, but in most instances you can't because it gets very costly just to say, hey, so did you see the new regulation from CMS? What do you think? You know, that's kind of a very sort of casual thing to say. So what I do is a couple of different things. I follow a bunch of different blogs. I read the news. I follow the Justice Department, anything that they post. I have the Healthcare Compliance Professionals Manual on my desk. I use it as a resource. I have it tabbed up. And then just internally, you might not have compliance people necessarily, but you have some good managers. Find out who your good managers are who really support the compliance program. I mean, there's a reason you're in the door, right? Somebody in the organization said compliance is important to us. So find those people and just be able to have some discussions of, hey, I saw this is coming out. I don't know all of the implications yet. What do you think? And they'll give you a business perspective, if not a compliance perspective, but that could at least help you kind of take you down the path of what other questions you need to ask. But yes, not having that every day, being able to just walk into, you know, somebody's office and say, hey, what did you think about this? It's definitely a challenge. So build your compliance community out there as best you can, because those are those external resources are probably going to be the thing that you use the most. And so I don't know. I think that's one of the areas that I would say for a single compliance officer is definitely the most challenging.
Well,
you asked a very hard question.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. It's true, though. I mean, you know, in compliance, there's so many shades of gray about things, and you can, you know, you need policies, you know, you need procedures, you know, all of these things. But when it comes to actually, you know, parsing out the law or interpreting or implementing something, that's where the gray comes in, and not having a couple of different folks to bounce it off of becomes a little bit more challenging, and it feels a little bit more risky to you personally because you don't want to make the wrong decision. So over-communicate, over-identify the risks, talk to as many people as you can that you do have access to.
Let me ask another question. You've got a lot of balls to juggle. You know, you have sort of what the risk assessment tells you are the key priorities. You've got to get the training done. You've got to make sure that there's processes and procedures. And then something happens. Somebody calls a helpline or walks in your door with an allegation that you have to investigate, or the business makes a new decision that suddenly you have a whole new set of obligations you have to examine and put programs in place for. Is there a trick you found that really helps you prioritize all of this and keep all the balls in the air, and not only keep them in the air, but keep them there for the right amount of time?
Yes. So this is literally every day of my life. I think I have my sort of agenda and my playbook, but unfortunately, you know, things do walk in the door and people do use the helpline and other things happen. So how do you do it all? For me, it's about time management. I'm very militant about, you know, blocking certain hours every single day to do certain things. The reality is you don't know what's going to walk in that day, but on the other hand, you do know something will. So it's very helpful if you always have a little bit of time set aside or a little bit of cushion set aside to be able to address anything that comes up. In addition to that, for me, because there are so many little things, it's easy to kind of focus on big priorities and let the little things slide. And that's not good because those little things have a way of snowballing and becoming much bigger things. So I use a lot of different trackers. I record everything that comes in the door, whether or not I think it's a compliance issue, and then I sort it later. This helps me just, you know, being able to keep track of everything. I mean, really simple tools, but outside of like Outlook and time management, I have a big whiteboard. I always set my monthly priorities from, hey, this is the plan that I have in my agenda, so that I don't lose sight of those for the little things that walk in the door. But it is a juggle and it's a dance and it's a balance and every single month is different. I think one of the best things about being a solo compliance officer is that no 2 days are the same. You don't know what you're going to get and it keeps it very fresh and exciting. And if you're an individual who really likes to sort of dig in and take on a whole bunch of different things, then the solo compliance officer life is for you. That's my pitch for single compliance officer, army of one.
Well, Jane, thanks so much for those insights. I feel really appreciative of them and a little guilty for taking your limited time away. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.